It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday night. You're probably listening Wednesday. Mikey Meatballs
producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds at D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Yo, what's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
No reason to be excited. We are coming off, like I said, this is Tuesday night. We are coming off the Lakers Pelicans game. And after that, we did race to 10. We had the Warriors over Sacramento. Now that game is still going on. I don't give a crap what's going on in that actually in the score, but I do know we lost 11-8. Bri, you had 11-8. We had 3 in a row wins.
Yeah.
We had the Warriors. Yep. They're up 8-6 with the ball, 4 shots to win, and they lost. That's simplifying it, but go ahead. You can give it some color. That sucks.
Look, yeah, it's one of those. I haven't taken too many losses too badly recently. I really don't feel like doing the pod after that one. That was a bad.
I know.
That was a bad loss. I mean, we start off with the Draymond 3. Which couldn't be more exciting, right? But yeah, 8-6. We go to a timeout. We didn't even realize they lose a challenge early within the 2 minutes. Kings get the ball, but they get the ball right back. Wiggins has a chance for a layup. Probably gets fouled. Actually, that was the play that before the timeout, right? He should have gotten fouled by Sabonis there. Didn't get the foul.
And should have got two free throws, and that could have won it there.
But even so, they got the ball back. Wiggins again misses a rather easy layup, an athletic move to the basket. Then they miss a alley-oop. And then, you know, our boy Draymond let us down with
who drains a three to get us on the board and couldn't do it.
You know, the funny thing is I did say during it, I said, after he hit that three, I was like, do we want him to take another three?
Yeah.
Oh, we shouldn't have had to. We should have won it 3 times, Parlay Kid. But we lost, and sorry to Brooklyn Steve. He had a free $50 on the line. He answered a nice trivia question.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. But anyway, so I don't know. Nobody else is talking about these race to 10s.
Still 3-1.
I mean, don't forget. I mean, the Kings
that
missed
felt like 5 losses.
The shot to go up to 10, and Fox comes through the guard.
Yeah.
Comes swooping in and jams the miss home.
Right.
That never happens.
That
I mean,
really,
right, very rarely does a guard come swooping in like that. And with the lefty putback jam. Tough one.
And now the Warriors are getting blown out 36-22. We'll keep you updated, even though the game will have been over about 10 hours by the time you're listening to this. But one thing is for sure, the Lakers advanced to the 7th seed, 110-106. They beat the Pelicans. They were winning by 18. I'll tell you what, I'm doing something with these pick'em games, these 1-2 point spreads. I'm betting all teams -9.5. So I took all 4 teams today -9.5. Did not work out in that first game, even though the Lakers were up 18. I feel like it might have a chance with the Sacramento guy. It won't. I'll lose the race to 10 and I'll lose both. But I'll let you know how this works out. Anthony Davis, 20 points, 15 rebounds.
LeBron, 23, 9 and 9.
Yeah, LeBron almost gets the triple-double. On the other side, the Pelicans is his best game ever, I think, for Zion. 40 points, 11 rebounds, Harry. And Hurt doesn't play the last few minutes. And who knows, some leg injury, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know if he's available.
And kind of like, you know, screw the Pelicans because they blow this game. And they didn't even have to be in this play-in game if they would have taken care of business on Sunday against the Lakers and didn't even show up for that game. They would have got the 6 seed. Suns would have been the 7. And they get blown out from the get-go in that game, and then they come all the way back in this one, like you just said, down 18, come back to tie it, and then lose it late. And, you know, Zion, again, didn't play the last minute and a half because of some, like, ankle or foot injury, something.
We'll know more about it by the time this posts. But Parlay Kid, Zion, I mean, as soon as he was – well, Bri, you brought up if he's out there for any length of time, forget it. Just let the Lakers win anyway. Doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? If he's not going to play, then they might as well be out of the playoffs because guys like Ingram didn't show up right today. McCollum was bad for that game, so – yeah, I don't want
the Alvarado played out of his mind. If he didn't play great, they would have got blown. They would have lost by 20. Yeah, like Sal had it.
It's weird too because the Pelicans, right? They should be a fun team to watch. You should all be rooting for them, especially if Zion is playing. But there's something about them that's just right. They should be really fun. They're not though.
They take a long stretches off from scoring. I think I don't know what it is, Bog. But I don't know if you get Pelicans again. I'm talking. We don't know the result of the Sacramento game, but. You get Sacramento Pelicans for that 8 seed. Not that great. But anyway, the Lakers, at least they did that. I did not want to hear about, oh, they lost on purpose so they could avoid Denver. And now they're going to have a home game against Sacramento. I just didn't want to hear it. I'm glad. So they're meeting Denver head on. We're going to give our series picks and Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We're going to take a break, though. And after the break, we'll give you the Wednesday play-in game picks, Philly, Miami, Chicago, and the Hawks. And we have draft prop, Shark Tank, Mel. Lots of good stuff. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
All right, so the Wednesday play-in games, there are two of them. This is the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia -5, 208 versus Miami. This is the 7-8 matchup. Obviously, Philly is misseeded here only because of the Embiid injury, and they have not lost since he's returned. They probably could would have been the top 2 or 3 seed, would you say, if he's in there? 4 at the worst? I don't know.
At 4 at the worst, I guess. Yeah. At the worst, yeah. But most likely, being that there wasn't too many games separating the 2 and the 6 or 7 or 8, yeah, mostly they could have been as high as 2.
Well, they haven't lost since he's returned. He's averaging 39-5 and a steal and a block since he came back. And I'm going to take them. I know it's dangerous betting against Miami in these play-in type games. The Heat come into this matchup ranked 26th in points per game, probably the same as they were last year. They're Philly 6th in three-point defense, so you don't have to worry too much about them getting hot. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a basketball game. Anything could happen. Listen, Miami will make it interesting. They could lose this game and then get blown out by Philly, get blown out Thursday by the Bulls, and then come back against the Bulls and then win and then sweep the Celtics. Like that, they could do all that. Who knows if they want to gum up the works again. Adebayo has not played well against Embiid, if you look back. Last few games. So I'm going to take Philly by 7 or 8 here. I'll take them laying the 5 points here. Brother Bri, you have Embiid as the rebound leader. Boy, that's getting a plus number.
Yeah, you're getting plus 110 here. I like the plus money. I wasn't expecting it. I thought maybe you'd see minus 150. And look, Embiid's look good since he's been back, right? I mean, the 76ers have been playing really well. But the reason I like this, obviously, the size of Embiid out there, the Heat just, even with Adebayo, they just don't have the size to match up with them. And the Heat aren't a good rebounding team anyway, right? So they're 26 in rebounding. I expect it to be like a defensive game, a lot of missed shots on both teams. So I think the rebounding will be up. And Embiid's averaged 12 rebounds in his last three games. And that's, you know, it's likely his minutes are going to go up too against the Heat in this game. So, it's got to be him or Adebayo, right? One's plus 110, one's plus 150 here on that number. But I was surprised you still get a plus 110 here.
Yeah. All right. Now you guys like Maxey, Parlay Kid. Yeah. You start us off. Big Maxey, he's sixth man of the year, probably, right? Big favorite.
Yeah, it looks like he will be. I think Harry called that. So I know Harry's a Maxey guy. And I like Maxey to be the top point scorer in this game at plus 350. In his last three games against the Heat, he has gone for 37, 30, and 30. And over his last seven against the Heat, he's averaging over 27 points per game. He's for some reason, he's been able to have a lot of success against them. And a lot of that has to do with Embiid. And we know Spoelstra, he's a coach that really tries to shut down the opposition's number one guy. And he'll do his best to stop Embiid and limit Embiid. And Maxey will hopefully, in my case, in Harry's case, be the beneficiary of that. He has had outstanding games. I don't think this guy has any fear in these type of games either. Kind of plays with some reckless abandon and some passion. I think he has a big game here, Sal. So I get a nice number at plus 350 for him to be the leading scorer. I think in this case, again, Embiid might be his only competition to outscore him in this game.
All right, there you go. All right, Harry, you got Maxey also. Even odds here, basically, over 23 and a half points.
Yeah, I actually had him at the beginning of the season when we gave out our preseason picks. I got confirmation from our buddy Chris H today. I had Maxey most improved player at 11 to 1.
Hmm. Yeah, we just said that, Harry.
Yeah, we just said that.
Six man. It's a six man.
I screwed that up. Okay.
My bad, Harry.
He's going to win. He's going to win.
Boy,
six
Darren's
man.
Been all over me last couple pods.
No, I was wrong. I was definitely wrong. You're right. Most improved.
I'm the one who said it wrong.
Most improved.
That was a good one from Harry.
Anywho, he's been spectacular for the Sixers all season, as we know. And against Miami, Darren mentioned, he's gone for 30 or more in his last three meetings versus the Heat. Plus, Maxey has ripped off 26 points or more four of his last five games overall. And again, he's going to be the guy, I think. Even, he could definitely be the leading scorer in this game. I'm going to go over 23 and a half. He definitely goes for that.
Let's go, Harry. Right. Let's get this.
Let's do it.
All right. There you go. Good news. Anytime we're on the same side, whether it's two of us, three of us, four of us, can't lose. Damn race to 10. All right. The Bulls, 3-point favorite, 222 is the over-under against the Hawks. Two things I don't like about this. I don't like the Hawks at all as a team or anything. And I don't like that this line is so low. I'm almost strange. Scared off a little bit. Like, the Hawks score a lot. They play no defense, which so they'll probably get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But no, honestly, they've lost six in a row. They're in Chicago. That's a team, Parley Kid. We saw Chicago play the Knicks hard on Sunday, a game that they didn't even need to play their starters. And they ended up the starters playing five quarters. DeRozan played 44 minutes. They had nothing to gain. I don't know. Is that why the line is so low against the Hawks? The Bulls took 2 of 3, even though they did lose 2 weeks ago to the Hawks. I think that was the Hawks' last victory, actually. Atlanta 15-26 on the road. Give me the Bulls minus 9.5. I'm doing this adjusted spread thing, plus 230. I think they blow them out. I don't think this Hawks team belongs in the top 12, to be honest with you. Paulie Kidd, you're with me with the Bulls.
I'm certainly am, Sal. I'm not a fan of this Hawks team. There have been times they've been absolutely abysmal this year, especially late in the season. Haven't won a game since the return of Trae Young, by the way, in three games. I mean, he hasn't gotten his normal minutes, but 14, 19, and 12 in these three losses For Young, he hasn't really made an impact yet. We'll see here in the playoffs. But what inspires me to take this low line with the Bulls is just like you said, I happened to watch that Knick game from start to finish on Sunday, and the Bulls were in playoff mode that game.
Right.
I couldn't believe how hard the Bulls played in that game. I actually thought it was a little ridiculous, being that they had nothing to play for. They played eight guys. I feel like Billy Donovan was like, "Hey guys, this is our tune-up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're getting in playoff mode here. So our record was crap this year, but we're getting a break. We're getting a second chance. Mm-hmm. Let's start playing some real basketball." And they have probably, in my mind, the most underrated basketball player in the league, in DeRozan. Absolutely fantastic. He was great in that Knicks game. And not just him, but you have White, too, who is also maybe the runner-up for most improved player this year on the Bulls. Vucevic, who's a solid center, maybe not spectacular. They're better than their record indicates. Donovan is a solid coach. I think he has them ready to really come out and play with high intensity. And they cover this three pretty easily. So I know it's is it a fishy line? You know, I don't believe in that.
I know.
I don't believe in it, but it does seem like they're daring you to take the Bulls. And I'm gonna bite. I'm going to bite.
Well, for what it's worth, I think I read something that the Hawks have never lost a play-in game, the 3-0 or something, but whatever. Yes, who cares about that? I'm just trying to figure out why it's so
low. I know what you're saying.
So there you go. All right, I have Chicago -9.5. Parlay Kid has Chicago -3. Bry, your brother brought up Vucevic. You like the under points now.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I was thinking over originally, but under 19.5. It's funny, Sal, when you said two things I don't like about this game, I swore you were going to say the Hawks and the Bulls. I thought you were going to say both.
I don't mind a Bull.
Yeah, I know, but there's something, and it's probably the Hawks. There's something about this game. Right. Maybe both, you know, the red uniforms. Maybe there's something about this that I don't really have a desire. This is one game I don't really have a desire to watch too much of. And you know, I like basketball here. But yeah, I'm going to go Vucevic under 19.5. Look, he only averaged 18 on the year, but look, the reason the number jumped to 19.5 is because if you look at his last three games, he averaged 27.5 over those last three, or 27.33. But, you know, they played the Hawks twice recently. And the reason I like the under here is, look, without Capella in the lineup, Vucevic had 24 points. With Capella in the lineup defensively, he had 5 points. Like, it's just a big swing. I think in this type of playoff game, I think, like Parley Kid was saying, I think DeRozan's the one, right, who goes off here. He has the big game. Maybe you get some other, you know, maybe White has a big game too, potentially, for them. But Vucevic, I think he's going to be solid. This seems like a 16 to 18 point game for him. Solid, not great, but I'm going to go under the 19.5.
Well, I might be exaggerating here, Harry, but Atlanta being so bad defensively and getting in such shoot. I mean, I know it was the last game of the season. They didn't care. What'd they give up? 157. What the hell? What did they do the other day? It was disgusting. They might raise everybody's point total a point anyway, just against them. It's just how it is in terms of individual players. Yeah. Anyway, you're putting together a same game parlay, so I'm sure you're doing some overs here.
Yeah, well, I love FanDuel for all these great same game parlays, but also you can do the adjusted numbers too, which really helps you improve being able to hit these. It's pace +122. It's a four legger. I'm going to take Bogdan Bogdanovich over 2.5 threes. Last year, in last year's playoff versus Boston in the playoffs, Bogdanovich was great. He had at least 3 threes in all 6 games against the Celtics in the playoffs last year. I'm going to go Vucevic. At least 8 rebounds. At least 8 rebounds. He averages almost 11 for the season. I'm going to take my guy, Clint Capella, to do the same. At least 8 boards. He's had at least 8 boards in 20 of his last 21 games. And Trae Young, at least 8 assists. He was second in assists this season behind Tyrese Halliburton. Those four pay +122.
All right. Good luck. I mean, you got a lot of rebounds. So you're counting on a lot of missed shots here. With the rebounds, right?
A lot of missed shots. It's fine.
Doesn't count when it goes in and you rebound. All right. So there you go. There's our Eastern Conference breakdown. Hey, Let's take another break and then get into these NFL draft props. I'm so happy we're talking football. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
All right. Boy, you talk about FanDuel doing a great job, Harry. Look at these NFL draft props. We're still over a week out, and they have a million of them. You could do... See, it stinks because Caleb Williams to go number one is minus 10,000. So there's no touching that. But you can go number two, number three pick. We're going to go over a lot of these in depth on Cousin Sal's winning weekend Friday morning on FanDuel TV. But you can be to be a top five pick, to be a top 10 pick, the first position drafted, individual players, where they'll be drafted, Knicks, Byron Murphy, Penix, all those guys, and where your favorite team will draft a player or who Harry's favorite team will be. I think FanDuel even has that somewhere in there.
They
can't keep up. How are they supposed to be keep up with that? But anyway, I said, look at the top 10, look at the top five, or to be drafted first round value pick. Well, let's just jump around here. Harry, you like Ladd McConkey in the first round. I had him landed on Tate Frazier's Panthers, but go ahead. You like him at plus 250.
Plus 250, extremely quick guy, solid hands, excellent possession receiver. You can use him in reverses, trick plays. Of course, because of his speed, he ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. He had rushing touchdowns all 3 years at Georgia, too. He can be a dangerous punt returner, possibly, versatile player. I think he's perfect for Buffalo, maybe at 28, considering they're down their top two receivers from last season. And maybe even Kansas City at 32. And at 31, San Francisco, maybe. Ayuk's still a Niner for the time being. Don't know if he's going to be there by the time the season starts. So I think McConkey's a guy that could just fit in somewhere very nicely.
All right. Bri, I think let's stick with the wide receivers here. You have Keon Coleman in the first round at 9-1. I think the idea is, there will be some wide receivers taken towards the end of the round. And everybody really ranks them differently, right? The wide receivers.
Right.
I think the first wide receiver drafted is almost always who you think it's going to be. It was Chase. Who else? Who went last year first? Now I can't think. It's Smith and Jigba went first, right? Last year, as out of the wide receivers, I think he was the first one.
Yeah, why?
Right,
why
went to the Seahawks.
Why am I missing 20th. The others?
It was Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison. But if you go 2, 3, 4, people might have had Addison second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So once it gets to the first, it gets mixed up. Same with 2022. Drake London was first, but Garrett Wilson, Olave, Jameson Williams, those guys were all mixed up. 21, Chase was first. Waddle wasn't necessarily second. Devontae Smith was third. Kadarius. Anyway, it's a good mix. So I think if you can get a good number on some of these players to be the fourth or fifth or sixth best wide receiver, that's what you're doing with Coleman.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going with. And look, this draft for receivers, we saw it a few years ago. This draft, too, is even more stacked. I mean, obviously, you get the three greats up top, but there's a lot of – I mean, there's 10 legit receivers here, right? So, look, I know part of that, right, is maybe you could get a really good receiver in the second round, maybe even the third round. But look, the reason – again, I like Keon Coleman right now, first-round pick is plus 900. Now – some people might say, like you were saying, some might have him number six. Some people have him outside their top 10 because it is weird. If you look at him physically, right, he's almost like an old school top receiver. He's somebody years ago who would have been a top 10, top 15 pick just because of his size. And if you remember during the year, especially the first half of the year before some injuries, some bad quarterback play, I mean, he had that awesome game against LSU. He was really good against Clemson. I think Syracuse, he had another really good game. makes a lot of big plays down the field. There's been some comparisons, like potentially like a T. Higgins, and that's exactly kind of what he is, maybe a really good number two on a team. So at plus 900, pretty much all mm-hmm. the mocks have him like early second, right? And there's some potentially that have him late first. I mean, could he fall short? But at plus 900, if you see a run on wide receivers in this draft, like in that 20 to 30 range, all of a sudden, you know,
yeah,
it's very easily you could have like five guys taken between 20 and 30 potentially receivers. If yeah, teams so don't want to lose
the
out.
Last 4 years in the first round, four receivers taken, six receivers taken, five receivers taken, six. It's like almost, it's always four or five. It's always in that range, right?
Yeah.
Even before that, if you look at that. So I'm going receiver also first round. Xavier Leggett, South Carolina, big kid. 6'1", 220, 439, whatever. Second in the SEC. To be honest with you, he was plus 430 this morning. And I looked at, and he's in a lot of mock drafts in the first round. I'm not going to lie. He just is. Yates and Kuiper both put him as the last pick in the first round. So it went from plus 430 to plus 290. And I still think that's good. Get that before it gets down to about even. But the point is, take your shot with one of these receivers or a couple of these receivers to go in the first round. One of these guys you see ranked fourth, fifth, and sixth doesn't always seem that way to the teams drafting. All right, parlay kid, Brock Bowers, big name in here. Very as far as where this guy ends up, I'm almost most interested to see Brock Bowers over anybody else.
Yeah, I'm taking him top 10 at plus 175. And look, I might win this by the slimmest of margins with him going to 10 mm-hmm. to the New York Jets, where most mock drafts have him projected to go, at least greater than 50% of them do. That also being said, is the other option for the Jets is an offensive lineman, I believe, or possibly a receiver who falls a little bit. But I think picking up the addition of Tyron Smith of the Cowboys going to the Jets might enable the Jets to take a lineman a little bit later in the draft and get Rodgers a tight end who is a dynamic tight end, one of the better tight end prospects to come out in recent years. Good hands, good blocker, physical player, and a winning player. And I think that's the most important thing. And as most New York fans, even though I'm not a Jets fan, as most New Yorkers know, the Jets have not had a good tight end, maybe ever. So
who's the one they drafted in the first round years ago? And that was like the famous booing right there at Radio City, wherever it was. The Nebraska kid. Who was it? Big white. Mm-hmm. Is he from Nebraska?
Well, they had Anthony Becht, right? Was from West Virginia.
Right. I'm thinking
that was okay.
That. Yeah.
But look that up, Sal. But
all right,
to me, this is a home run pick for the Jets here. I think there might be some interest in teams like the Colts trading up ahead of the Jets to take Bowers as well. And Peter Schrager, an NFL insider, Sal, has nailed the Jets pick in five out of the last six drafts. He has Bowers going to the Jets. I'll listen to what he says because he's been automatic in his Jet picks. Last year was the only time he was off, and he was literally off by like one pick. Mm-hmm. So I'll listen to Schrager here and take his advice. Bowers goes 10. We hit this bet. He might even go a little bit before it, Sal.
All right.
So I like this at plus 175.
You know, the thing with Bowers is they interviewed Aaron Rodgers today and he said the guy's from a different planet, like the way he plays. And then they dug deeper into it and he actually believes that he's from a different planet.
From a different planet.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Everything's a conspiracy with this guy. It's unbelievable. I think I was Kyle Brady. I don't know where I got Nebraska from. Penn State.
Yeah,
guy.
Penn State. Yeah.
Wasn't he the guy, Harry, that everybody booed? I think he was the one.
Yeah.
Did they what round did they get him in? Wait a minute. Let's see. First round.
First round, right?
They booed the hell out.
Yeah, yeah.
They were yelling, "We want Sapp. We want Sapp." Right. There you go. Boy. Theismann said it just doesn't make sense, and everybody hated this pick. They were probably right. I don't think he did, right? He played for the Jets for like 3 or 4 years.
Not long.
Didn't do much.
Not a lot of catches.
So there you go. All right. So those are our, we'll be throwing picks at you. Well, you know, we're not done. Let's go to our favorite teams here, Bri. And yep. I know you're very excited because the Raiders really haven't screwed up their first round pick in, 2 years? No, they didn't have one last year, right?
No, we haven't messed up a pick. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was going to say it's been 355 days since the Raiders have messed up a draft, right? Okay, I should put that calendar every day. It's been 356, and then I'll go to zero next week.
So FanDuel has odds on where every team will draft, you know, with their first pick.
Yep.
What position will they take? And so the Raiders... I'll set you up here. Offensive linemen's +140, cornerback +185, quarterback 4-1.
Yeah.
And then you get edge 650, wide receiver 14. Which way you think?
Well, I think I'm going to go cornerback +185. You know, I joke about this every year that they botch this, right? I know they have Telesco in here who's actually drafts pretty well, although, you know, he's might have ruined the Chargers for years, even though he drafted well. But look, they do need two things. They need either a right tackle, so they need to shore up the line, or they need a cornerback. And I think they've missed on taking a few good cornerbacks over the last few years. They could have gotten some really good guys. Quinyon Mitchell, though, from Toledo, it seems like to be the first cornerback probably taken. Hopefully he's there around for the Raiders. But if not, there's a couple other good ones. Arnold's is going to be there. Probably he'll be around when the Raiders pick here. But this would totally be, this would make sense. And it's funny. I've seen this in certain mocks. And I saw this in mocks almost before the college season started, is Kool-Aid McKinstry. A lot of people have him going to the Raiders. At one point, he was considered potential top 10 or 15. Other things all of a sudden have him listed at like 35.
Right.
You know, he kind of might be a little bit like Diggs was looked at in the draft when the Cowboys took him. But
he just sounds like a Raider. I know he's a great player too, but I'd be surprised if they drafted him sight unseen.
Right.
Didn't look at any tape. Just take him.
Sounds like a Raider. Yeah. And of course, somebody who has a projection of a second round pick, that totally would make sense for us to be their first pick. And, you know, there's the outside shot. They could go quarterback here. I know there's some talk about them trading. I do think if they trade, they trade back up into the first round and hope like Penix is there. But
I'm looking at maybe we'll hit this next week or something, but I'm looking at positions. It's supposed to be a cornerback rich draft. Quarterback also, the over under is 4.5. Cornerback. Am I saying it right? Over under is 5.5. Now, the under is -440, but there's supposed to be about 5 cornerbacks taken.
Yeah.
Right? That's crazy.
Well, because you also have the really good kid from Iowa, but he's white. So I don't know. About that.
Yes. Yeah. What are you going to do about that? I forgot about that. Yeah. Iowa gave up 3 points a game, but he is white. That's true. And 6.5 wide receivers is the over under. All right. Parlay Kid, our Cowboys. I'll tell you what, it is kind of a disaster. I didn't realize it. You can make a case that with our first two picks, we could draft any position other than quarterback. Like we need a left tackle. We need a center. We need a linebacker. We need a running back. Although we signed Royce Freeman, big move today.
Yeah, huge.
You know, we need a second wide receiver. We need everything. We really do. And by the way, I never get the Cowboys pick right. I do feel like in recent years, they've just gone best player available for the most part. I feel like I can't get on them too much, but I look back, I think Russell Maryland was the last one I guessed, and that's because he was one overall, and you just kind of knew he was going to go first. What was that? It was like 30 years ago. But which way are you going to go with this, Parlay Kid? They have offensive lineman is the favorite at -175.
I know it landed a hefty price there at -175, but it makes the most sense for the Cowboys to go here. You lost your center, Biotic. You lost your left tackle, Tyron Smith. The offensive line has always been the foundation of the Dallas Cowboys, especially over the last 4 or 5 years. So I think they need obviously to upgrade there. They haven't gone out in free agency and really signed anybody of note except for a linebacker who's, you know, a decent player. My guess is they probably feel like can get some maybe a linebacker in the second or third round and maybe grab a receiver around the same time as that. And you're right. It's hard to believe a team that had the record that the Cowboys had last year and haven't been overly destroyed by free agency.
No, but they did lose a lot of guys. They just lost a lot of guys.
Like I said, Biotic, you know, they've lost some defensive linemen. You know, Biotic and Tyron Smith being their biggest losses. So I think that's where they got to really replace is on the line. I think that's why we see a minus 175 number. And there's linemen to be had at that spot. Good linemen. So I think all things considered, it's maybe not a terrible number either. Minus 175 we're laying, but it just makes too much sense. I think the only way that this doesn't happen, I think, is if a receiver, maybe just like a guy that was projected, like the way CeeDee Lamb kind of fell in their lap.
Right. That's what I mean about like them taking the best player available normally.
Yeah, I mean, somebody like that falls into their lap. That's what could happen. But the most sense is an offensive lineman.
Yeah. I've been wrong about them every year. I think odds-wise, value-wise, you take a chance on linebacker plus 470. I know they got, Kendricks? He's a Zimmer guy.
Yeah,
but they have to replace.
Overshawn's going to be back, though. This year, most likely from his injury. Leighton
Van Der Esch, who, by the way, they reached for in 2018 as a first-round pick. You might say they reached for Micah Parsons. Doesn't look like a reach now, but they moved down with that trade with the Eagles and got Parsons. So when they do go off script a little, they go linebacker. I think you're probably right. It makes more sense in the second round or third to take a linebacker. But at plus 470... I wouldn't mind that if the linebacker is best player available at that point. All right, Harry, I had a hard time with you. Like, hey, everybody, favorite team, pick your guy. This is not your favorite team, but you think the Chiefs are going to go wide receiver with their first pick.
I went with the team that I hated the most. How about that? I went to Kansas City, wide receiver, first pick, minus 125. I think this is tremendous value at minus 125. After this mess with Rashee Rice, who, by the way, had 79 receptions last year. The next closest to him, wide receiver wise, was Justin Watson with 27. Kelsey's turning 35 this year. He needs help. Casey did grab Marquise Brown in the offseason, but Casey still needs more help at wide receiver because Brown in five seasons has had over 70 receptions just once. So Kansas City, is a winning franchise. I guess. So why
you don't have to guess.
Why not your guy, Sal? You have the internet? Guy, McConkey? I don't know.
You have the internet? You could just check, Eric. You don't have to guess. Yeah. It's not a guessing game, really.
I don't pay for that stuff.
You do pay for it, but by betting against them every year. That's how you pay for it. I Yates and Kuiper have Ligeti, or, and you got a lot of different mocks have the Chiefs taking a receiver with their first pick and to end the draft. But it's an exciting pick, by the way, right? Like the last one of the draft. We've been there so many times.
And it is the Chiefs.
A lot of fun. Right. It's the Chiefs. Unlike the Cowboys, not a million holes there. But anyway, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll get the Sharp Tank, some mail, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else.
All right, Sharp Tank. These guys give me their best bet for the weekend, and I jump on one of them. The brothers, Bri and the Parlay Kid, won last week. Harry lost with soccer. We don't have to relive it, Harry. You had a 17 parlay, all of them over 1.5 goals or some crap.
They all won except one.
There you go. Yeah. That's a loss. All right, Harry, start us off. You have another parlay here.
Yeah. No soccer. Soccer's out this week, Sal.
Okay.
I'm going to do a three-team, three-leg parlay here. Pays plus 303. I'm going to do a little NBA action here. I'm going to start with the Suns, plus 2 against Minnesota. I know Minnesota had a better regular season than the Suns did, but Phoenix matches up real well versus the Timberwolves. Phoenix was 3-0 versus Minnesota this year and beat them by double digits in all three games. Plus, the big three is healthy for Phoenix. Beal had 36 on Sunday versus Minnesota. So give me the Suns plus 2. I'm going to take Milwaukee, Indiana, over 234. Now, I know Giannis isn't going to play here, but still, I'm going to go the over here because the Pacers led the NBA in scoring at over 123 points per game. Milwaukee was fourth. They played five times this year, five times. The total score in those games, 250, 247, 266, 235, 272. So give me over 234.
No, that's a loss. I mean, that's what did we say? What did we say about that? Whenever you're 30 points off with an over-under with a line, it's got to be a loss.
But still, the Pacers give up a lot of gift baskets and that, and still, I'm going to go over 234 here. And I'm going to go with a player prop. I'm going to take Kyrie Irving, at least two made threes, 11 straight games with at least two threes. He's averaged four threes in three games versus the Clippers this year. That three-team, three-leg parlay pays plus 303.
All right. There you go. Three-leg Harry, 303. Parlay kid, you like Lillard over 3.5 threes in that game one against Indiana?
Yeah, I do, Sal. And lending to the fact of what Harry just mentioned about, you know, Giannis looks like he won't be available early in the series. And whose time? It's Dame time, right? It's Lillard time here. It's time for him to step up in this role that he was born into Milwaukee to do. And I think the Pacers are a perfect team for him to do this against, go over 3.5 threes, because the game is just going to be an up and down type of game. That's the way the Pacers like to play it. I would assume Lillard's going to get a lot of looks. Now, he averaged three threes a game this year, a little down for him. But again, this is prime time. I think this is where we see Lillard at his best here, trying to carry this Bucks team. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to will them to victory, but I think he's going to do the best that he can. I think this is a 5-6 three-point game for Lillard, and I win rather easily, and I keep my sharp tank streak going here. I've been a little hot lately, but especially on UFC. But
Pereira was great.
I like this.
Nice,
I like this.
And easy.
I think I like this though, Sal. I like this one a lot because the Pacers like to go up and down, and yep. I think it's going to lend to Lillard getting some open looks.
All right. Brother Bri, Scheffler, he's playing. The wife is bursting. You like him top five. You don't get your money back if he withdraws, right?
I don't know. Are we sure about that?
Again, it's plus 110.
I feel
it's
like
crazy.
Vandal should give me my money back if he has a kid. That would be nice. That would be nice of them. But yeah, look, top five at plus 110. I feel like it's kind of stealing money at the moment, right? I know we've covered a lot of b-ball. We're going to do a lot more b-ball on Cousin Sal. So I think, again, maybe it's a boring pick, but finish top five at the RBC. I mean, look, it's a pretty small field. There's only 69 golfers in this. And look, when you're Scheffler, you've won three of the last four, with the other being a second place finish. I think you have to take this bet at this point in time until it loses, right?
So it's just too hot.
It's just too hot at the moment. Again, take him. Might as well take him to win again too. At 4-1 here. So I really like it. Top five plus 110. The other one I did want to mention, and this isn't obviously my sharp tank, but there is a really good fight, the Haney Garcia fight this weekend. That's at the Barclays Center on Saturday night. It's funny. Normally, I would say, I mean, Haney's a big favorite. He's like minus 900, which is crazy. I think by decisions, minus 160. And I feel like I normally would take that. But I don't know if anybody's been following Garcia, he's kind of been like a mess recently, like all over social media, being like, I don't know if something's wrong with him right now or something. Yeah. It seems like people are worrying about him. So to me, I feel like if I'm betting that fight, I'm betting Haney to win by like a late stoppage, just like the corner stopping it late after taking some punishment. And you can get some pretty good odds there for like the 7-12 range or the 9-12 range. you get some good odds.
He's minus 1,100 now. And you're right about the minus 160 on points by decision. And did you know, well, first of all, like, where were they? Like at the stock exchange or something this morning? New York, they was like kind of like arguing there. And they were supposed to throw out the first pitch at Citi Field. And they didn't. They didn't even come out for it. So they there was a talk that there was a scuffle. And by the way, Parley Kid, we need those guys for attendance. So when they say they're going to be there and then don't show up, I beat you to it. I had to get out there. No, what happened? Does the game, it's a miracle the game even started with no one to throw a first pitch.
That is funny. That's funny.
Yeah, they didn't come out. The speculation as to what happened. They were there and didn't come out.
There's a lot of bad blood. So I think these guys have fought six times in the amateurs. I think that said they were 3-3 against each other. They each won three times. When they're amateurs, they really hate each other. But
keep them away from balls and bats. Haney, probably smart.
Haney right now is just a much, much better fighter. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't put himself in. You know, he's just such a good boxer. Right. So, again, normally I'd say he doesn't have a lot of power, but I feel like this could be one of those he gets, knocked down late in this fight. Corner potentially stops it just because they hate each other so much.
All right. Well, that's not your pick. Scheffler, Tafa. That's a good one. I like Harry's. I'm going to go with Parlay Kids, though. Lillard over 3.5 threes. Should get a lot of looks there. Everybody shooting up threes. Minus 111 is a nice price. I think you'll see that go way up as these series go longer. We're going to cover our picks for Milwaukee, Indiana, Dallas. What do we have? Dallas and the Clippers. We have four series set as of the time of recording for this podcast. We got some mail, CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. Reach out to us, CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. This one's a long one. I don't know if I want to. It's good, though, because the guy really crushes Harry. Should I read it?
Yeah, read it.
All right. It's from Paul Baba. The guy's name is Paul Baba. Sal and crew, what a great thing you have going with this podcast. Here is Harry's plays for about a month or so, not counting his soccer plays, which I don't pay attention to. 226, McNeese a loser. 229, Suns a loser. 3-4, NBA, NHL parlay loser. 3-7, Miami Heat a loser. 311, San Francisco over Zags a loser. 311, three-player prop parlay. Luka, White, DeRozan over. All three went under. A smiley face emoji. 314, Ole Miss a loser. Then he hits on a minus 155 parlay. Sure, way to go, broke betting minus 155 parlays. Thunder and Rockets winner. Then comes the single greatest 3 minutes in the pod's history when Harry gave the following synopsis on what we should all bet. Brunson under 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists versus the Warriors. Right. As Harry explained, Brunson had gone under that total in 20 of 21 games in his career against the Warriors. Now Sal and gang. Has Harry ever heard of this guy, Luka Doncic, that Brunson played with on the Mavs for the first 18 games against the Warriors?
Yikes.
You know that guy who has the ball in his hands all the time, which of course would impact Brunson's overall numbers? I will hold that clip as the greatest example of the genius that is our beloved Harry. Needless to say, with Brunson now playing the lead role that Luka does in Dallas, well, you guessed it. Brunson soared over the number. It hit 47, another loser. Then he goes on. There's more here, Harry.
That was going to be a loser. That was that was a stone cold under.
I am
3 minutes left even, halftime. That was a stone cold under.
All right. I'm not halfway through this email. NCAA tournament, Colgate first half, lost by 20, loser. Teaser, Arizona and under, loser. Over UConn, San Diego, loser. Over North Carolina, winner. Grand Canyon making Sweet 16, loser. NC State over Purdue, loser. Over UConn, Bama, loser. WBB over UConn, Iowa, loser. Three-team parlay, UConn men, Iowa, South Carolina, winner plus 105. UConn minus 15.5 plus 350, loser. Baseball NBA over Arizona, Colorado, winner. Over Spurs, Thunder, loser. And then thanks to Harry, thanks to Harry, I'm close to having enough money to retire years early. Keep up the great work, fellas. Paul Baba. That is real.
That was a great.
Wow, Harry.
There are plenty of winners in there, too.
Exposed.
Plenty of winners.
He gave us every game.
Grand Canyon to make the Sweet 16. Okay, what was that, like plus 600? Sorry, no, Brian.
That was a great email by the Parlay Kid. Great email.
I thought it might be our friend who does
or
it.
Joel.
Paul Baba.
Or Joel.
No, I don't know. I think this is a legit R2D212. I'm looking at this email. I think this is legit.
No, oh, it's legit. Legit.
Plenty of winners in there too.
So people, well, not he's not counting the soccer. So I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, there you go, Cousin Sal against all odds at Gmail.
Well done.
Maxi 11-1. Okay, we forget that. We're not counting that.
That wasn't in March. This is all the last month. Okay. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yes. True.
All right. On a sad note, John Sterling died. That's sad. Sorry about that. Oh no, he just quit. Did he die or did he just die?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Harry doesn't care.
Harry, you Harry it's another care. One. This is another like same legend that him. You. Harry could shoot
Harry
threes.
Thought he was replacing Sterling as the Braves guy.
Do you feel like Sterling owes you for your toupee, Harry? Like you were forced to buy this toupee thinking you were going to be his replacement, and then the guy never freaking left, and then you were stuck with an $800 bill.
More than that.
Oh, really?
But Sterling's calls, whether he thinks he's being creative, whatever you want to call it, they're terrible. It's just terrible.
I don't think it's good.
It's annoying. If you're a Yankee fan, listen, he was Braves for years. So then he went and then he got a job with the Yankees. So it's really not a Yankee, to be honest, Aaron. And his calls are just.
It's funny. I mean, I will say growing up.
Give me Vince Scully. Six feet on the ground, any day.
Give him the best ever. Okay, we're comparing him to the best ever.
Sterling did it forever.
I'm a little younger. I mean, I was never the biggest Sterling fan. I will say his home run calls to me were always the highlights, though. Right? I mean, when he screwed up the home run calls and you're in the car like yelling at the radio because you don't know if it was a home run or caught. I mean, those are some entertaining times, but
Harry, you come up with rhymes on our text chains that aren't exactly, I don't know where you're getting them from, but what's so lame about? I don't understand.
The Yankees win. The Yankees win.
I'm telling
win.
You, I hate this team, and that never bothered me.
Yeah,
really
that, again, those are, the be- those are the best parts about Sterling that Harry hates. I think there's other things that you can not like about
no
it.
Need no, for, no need
Brian
for the
is 100%
no
right
the
because
by him,
those things
lame.
Were the best things about Sterling.
No.
The, you know, the worst things were when you he know would call something are, gone want, and it was like 20 feet in the park.
You want to know
that's
when Sterling
the worst
was good,
thing
Darren?
About Sterling.
Can I tell you when Sterling was good?
To crap on this guy, Harry, this is ridiculous.
No, Darren, I'm not going to crap
that
on him.
You're doing this.
He when he did that, it's terrible. When he tries to be funny with his words, it's not good. But when he was with the Braves, Darren.
It is one of the best.
It's good.
One of the great
it's
home
good,
run.
Harry.
One of the
hey,
great
better.
Home
Harry,
run
what do you
calls
want?
In baseball.
What? I Harry, that's not that, that's worse than Berman. Back. Like that's worse than Berman.
Berman wasn't a play-by-play guy.
Well, of course he was on plenty of
sometimes playoff games,
was.
But not during the a little bit, not much. Sometimes,
right, but you love calls like that, is what I'm saying. Why wouldn't you like this?
Bad. And I will say this: Sterling was good. Sterling was good when he was with WTBS and the Braves in the '80s when the Braves were terrible, and he had to figure out how to make the game go decent by the announcers when the Braves were terrible. That's when he was good.
Oh, man.
I listen, one, Harry probably hasn't listened to Sterling in over 20 years, at least. Okay. Yeah. That's a fact. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, the guy is 85 years old now.
And?
So maybe a little off the last several of them. Mm-hmm.
Then Scully wasn't at 92.
Still an icon in the business.
So you say.
And you can't argue that.
I can.
You cannot argue that, Harry.
Sal, can we give Harry?
I think he's good. I think this is nonsense because if Chris Berman or anyone else did any of the calls that Sterling did, you would be in love with it. You would be jacking it till the sun
is
came
there
out.
A way we can get Harry to a game and tape like one inning of what a radio would sound like. I would love to hear it though. Like Harry,
next time we're together, let's do
Harry
it.
Call.
Well, can we just do race to 10? He should just do race to 10.
Can Harry give a home run call right now?
Well, all right, Harry, let's go.
Pretend
let's
be, I'm up be in softball right now, right? Okay.
You?
All right, here comes the pitch.
Wait, are you going to right field like usual?
I went deep to right.
Deep to right? Yeah.
Caught. Go ahead, call it.
Caught.
That was a good Sterling impression because Sterling totally blew it. It was 50 feet over the wall. Yeah,
that's right. That's
very
right.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
I don't mind him. I think I'm going to miss him. Why does he do this?
He is the biggest troll.
I don't understand why. It's like he could call games better than Sterling. He could shoot threes better than Draymond. He could shoot. He could do that. Like, you really have a high opinion of yourself, Harry.
Tony Romo. Who else?
Better than him.
Who else is on his list? I mean, I don't know. Andy Reid, Matt Painter. We've gone through this, and every one of them has proved Harry wrong. Every single one of them.
So how is Sterling going to do it? I'm trying to think what Sterling's going to do now. Yeah. All right, Bri. Well, I'll miss Sterling. I don't like the Yankees at all. I thought actually probably the best baseball moment of 2023 was when he got hit with that ball and how he reacted.
Oh, it was. In the booth. He almost freaked. That was great.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it would have been.
Wait, I'll give Painter credit again.
Shut up, all the credit in the world for next year.
Let's see him get to the Sweet 16 next year.
No, you already went back. Your let's see him do this thing means nothing.
Can't go back without Edie.
It means nothing. Let's see him do this.
Because
you went back on your let's see him get to the Final Four. Let's see him win a first round game.
Everyone doesn't have Edie.
You didn't say that. You said let's see him do this. That's not you didn't make any qualifications. All right. Yeah. All right. That's gonna do it. We're done here. I'll tell you, I like the Mets crew the best because it's what you're used to, right? Paula Kid, you probably like the Yankees, right? The best. I like the Yankees way back in the 70s, early 80s.
No, those were my favorite. When it was Bill White, Frank Messer, and Phil Rizzuto.
That's another one. Rizzuto sucked. It was
a perfect trio of guys.
Right.
Because you had Bill Jones's White, the former baseball player.
You had Frank Messer, the pro, and you had Phil Rizzuto,
who had brought some life to it all.
No, he didn't.
Growing up, that was an unbelievable combination.
Messer and White
I used to really like Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner doing Mets stuff like that.
Jim Cott was good. Brian, used to be really good.
I know people didn't like Healy.
Healy's solid.
I like McCarver a lot.
But in all honesty, when the Yankees have certain people on, I like it. Like when Cone would be on, O'Neill sometimes. But in general, I mean, I like listening to the Mets announcers.
I do like the Mets announcers better.
I'll admit that. I like the Mets announcers.
Before your time, but the Scooter was clueless during games.
How do you watch these games on your phone?
He wasn't before the WPIX
I got in the swing of New York, and Scooter sucked.
No, he wasn't before my time at all. And as a matter of fact, those old guys, there's something about them in baseball, though. How much more enjoyable was watching a baseball game when you had those guys that were around forever, just those voices that you just heard, right?
I think also they didn't have to worry about social media jumping on them and idiots like Harry, like getting them, you know, just for misspeaking or one thing, you know. But wait, let me read this to you. McNeese, a loser. Suns, a loser. Miami Heat, loser. San Francisco over Zags, a loser.
There's Ole Miss, more?
Loser. Oh, my gosh. That was a parlay. Another part of the parlay.
So
one.
Good. All right. There you go. All right, let's cut it out. That's enough. really. Poor Scooter. Poor John Sterling. All right, that's going to do it. Another episode of Against All Odds for Mikey Meatballs in the D3. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina,
Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.